The Ensemble podcast is intended for professional financial advisors. All discussion is limited to publicly available information and should not be interpreted as legal, professional, or financial advice. Ensemble does not hold an AFS license nor provide any financial services. Before making investment decisions, you should obtain financial advice from a qualified financial advisor.
Hello, my name's James Wrigley. I'm a financial advisor and one of the principals of Melbourne-based financial planning firm First Financial. I've been a long-term listener and contributor to the Ensemble Group and podcast, picking up some amazing nuggets of gold over the years. And through this podcast and the people that I'm able to speak to and interview, hopefully I can continue to deliver some of those nuggets of gold to you.
Introducing Macquarie ETFs. Macquarie's active ETFs now give you easier access to the global active investment expertise and strategies that were previously only available as traditional unlisted managed funds. Benefit from the transparency and convenience of an ETF structure underpinned by the global investment expertise of Macquarie's fund managers, which offer you additional options for portfolio diversification and the potential for index outperformance. Discover everyday access to active investments with Macquarie. Visit etf.macquarie.com to find out more.
Hello, welcome back to another episode of the podcast. I've got the pleasure of speaking with James Rawlings from DW Private Wealth today. James, thank you for joining me. As I just said, a nice easy name to remember this time around.
That's right. Likewise.
Thanks. Thanks for being part of it. Thanks for joining me.
Absolutely. No, I was rude to say off air that I really find this helpful listening to all the other people that have been on the podcast and whether it's small groups, larger groups, it's you always take away a little gem or two.
Yeah, it's good to try and have a bit of a mix because there's a lot of people part of the Ensemble network are, one or two person shops, reasonably small businesses, and then there's obviously some bigger businesses out there. And whether it's my podcast or the others as part of the Ensemble series, there's some of those bigger ones get on there as well and talk about what they're up to. So James, give us a bit of an idea of what you're up to. So you're a partner at DW Private?
That's right. Yeah. It's been a bit of an on and off again love affair with Steve in the sense that with the benefit of hindsight, 10 years ago, I probably should have joined him when he went out. He was also an advisor with a lot of the banks. Hmm. But I guess I just got a bit cozy there for a while and was at NAB in particular for nearly 16 years and probably overstayed my welcome by about 6 years. So I guess what I mean by that is I've got a friend, he works at IBM down here in Canberra and we're at a dinner party together and he said to me, if you stay at a job for more than 10 years, chances are you're going to be there forever. So 10 years, he said, was the magical number. He's quite a successful gentleman. So that I did reflect on that and thought, you know what, ever since 2015, which was my 10 years at NAB in Canberra, wasn't that things went badly, but it certainly wasn't a great time to be a bank ladder. Those last 5 or 6 years. And then it was just because, you could have got golden handcuffs with, share retentions and obviously a nice client base. And that's probably why I stayed at that. It was hard to leave. But once I did, thankfully I haven't looked backwards, which is great.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're in the ACT. Have you always been in Canberra? Yeah.
It's a question. Yeah. So originally from Albury.
Right.
That was part of a regional scheme that my father's company had nothing to do with Albury, but there was obviously government money. So that's why they were down there. Then in the late 80s, we moved to Brisbane, Queensland, because it was just too expensive to move staff from Albury, Sydney or Melbourne. So I went to high school here in Brisbane and went to university and started my career in Queensland.
Yeah.
Met someone who was my girlfriend, now my wife, Louise. And like a lot of people that come to Canberra, she was a graduate at Prime Minister of Cabinet. And as a result of that, to stay with Louise, and so therefore I made the move down.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And so who do you find, often, like I'm in Melbourne and I often think, advisors working in Canberra, you deal a lot with, people exposed to the government and politics and so forth. Is it like ordinary people you'd have in Brisbane? Like,
it's actually, work with the banks, I think it was maybe mums and dads, which I was comfortable with. So I think there were a number of specialised firms that were, dare I mention, addiction advisory that pretty much captured the majority of public servants.
Yeah.
Whereas in the bank, we found that the majority of our clients were not so much the forgotten people, but people that just probably weren't comfortable going to an individual advisory firm. They like to deal with one institution.
Yeah, good.
As a general rule. And that was probably more from the retail side of the bank, whereas from the business bank, it was kind of more limited advice pieces. So, for example, someone had, seven, eight, nine, 10 figure property, commercial property portfolio, but then they'd want to say, the rest of their money's in cash, and they'd say, hey, here's $500,000, you run that money. So they didn't want anything else. They were incredibly wealthy. It was just they were more interested in getting a high return than term deposits.
Yep. And if that was through the bank, you were doing that?
Absolutely, yeah. So sure. I was, and I guess part of the reason I was there for so long is that I was fortunate enough that when I joined, which was August 05, then come, say, March, February 06, a couple of people had retired and was able to merge a number of client bases together. And, as I said at the start, it was almost a golden handcuff. It was, the remuneration was structured such that you were almost guaranteed to get a bonus. Yeah, so it was interesting, and it was nice to work at the bank, because lots of people and met lots of great people there. But in the end, I think, as I said, we were certainly not welcome. There was no going away party when we left NAB, even though some of my colleagues had been there for over 20 years. It was like duck the door, hitch on the way out. So it was a pretty brutal experience post Royal Commission.
Yeah,
up until around say 2015-16, it was actually quite a nice place to work.
Yeah, so that was NAB you were with, and that was it.
That's right.
Yeah, and I've tracked what the individual banks did with kind of getting out of financial advice, but did they shut it down fairly quickly, or what happened?
No, they sold to MLC, as in divested.
Yeah.
Then a few months later, IOOF bought out.
Yeah, right. That's right. Yep.
And it was honestly death by a thousand cuts, in the sense that the changes just never stopped, and there was always someone new that had a better idea how to provide and deliver advice, even though that person had never been in front of a client. So that is quite frustrating. I mean, I've got grey hairs and I was one of these crusty old guys in the background, but honestly, a lot of those people that told us what to do and how to do things are no longer in the industry.
Yeah, okay. Yep.
So it's not a power over. It was just, in the end, I think, if you're client-facing, you generally do have an idea, particularly if you have got it. Recurring income stream.
Yeah. And so then life for you post the banking world in kind of smaller financial planning businesses, how you find it?
Went to a couple of firms where one I probably wasn't a fit, the other one I was, but it wasn't the equity position. And I felt if you're not going to be in a bank where one thing they do provide is quite good salary conditions, then if you're going to go out, you go out. So yes. What I discovered, and obviously a lot of people been in the industry for nearly 30 years. You're either self-employed or you're employed. These quasi-equity, dangle the model over 5-10 years. I haven't found too many models. I think your firm looks like it might do that quite well. But locally, it seems to be you're either an employee or yourself.
Yeah. And so how did that, I don't know at what the level of detail you're comfortable sharing, but it's an interesting piece that a lot of employed financial advisors, they have this aspiration of owning part of the business that they work with or what, but how did that go for you? How did you become a part owner of the business?
Well, where I am now, it developed in the sense that I was fortunate that at my previous role, any clients that I brought across from that MLC that elected to follow me, obviously I waited 12 months, but any of those clients that came across, if I ever left that previous employer, they came with me, and to their credit, that was the case.
Yes.
So that gave me a start to go 100% self-employed, along with me purchasing a modest book off a gentleman that had decided to retire. Because so basically merged two, my own book of my lovely clients, and some have been with sort of circa 17 years, and then secondly, with this group of clients that I could see I'd get along with because we have similar approaches. That provided me the start, because what I didn't want to do is be one of these self-employed guys with the pencil on my ear and work until 2 a.m. every day. I feel clients can tell when you're a bit stressed. Clients can tell when you're comfortable, and I definitely wasn't prepared to go 100% starting from zero. I've got two kids at quite expensive private school, and you know the story. You've got children yourself, so it's not a cheap enterprise. So it was important there was money coming in day one because I didn't want to be sweating in meetings and putting pressure on people. Yes, you must deal with me. If they don't want to deal with me, that's absolutely fine. But as you have that approach, you've got to do it for you.
Mm, yeah. And so DW Private, did you start that or did you join?
That's Steve before? Steve Wang. So Steve's the founder and the primary shareholder.
Yeah.
And to his credit, he's built it from from zero. I just don't have that level of capacity. Like, I know what I'm good at, but I also know what I'm bad at. And, you know, dare I say it, fixing photocopy machines and IT support. It's not my strong point, as anyone listening to that knows me on this call knows that I can type, but, and I can, you know, literally on this Teams call, okay, but I'm definitely not an IT specialist.
Yeah. Yeah. So who? So what's the mix of your clients look like now? You know, the ones that have followed you over the years from different places?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So the clients that have followed me are generally around, say, 70 to 80 years of age.
Yeah.
The client base that I bought is again, around, say, that 70 up. So they're a little bit older, you know, traditional financial planning where you're helping them with percent link, recontribution strategies, managing the portfolio, and dare I say it, making sure they don't do anything silly. I mean, recent, just caught up with someone this morning that in October wasn't a very big fan of mine. She was down a couple of percentage points. Yeah, it was early on. We don't just invest in the money, and now she's upset that I said, and I gently reminded her, hey, that's half the reason you've got me in your corner so that you don't add it stress.
Sure.
So that's the existing book that I've got. As far as new business, it is incredibly varied. You know, it could be people in their 20s that just want a one-off general advice consultation. It could be, you know, my age and age, late 40s, that are getting to that point where they've upgraded their home and now looking to prepare for retirement. And I guess the sweet spot for me is the pre-retirees and retirees still. So sort of 55 to 65.
Yep.
Seems to be where most of my work comes from.
Yeah. And how do those newer clients find you? Where does that work come from?
Well, this is the strange thing, my friend. So in the past, you know, today's Tuesday, we would literally have a 3-hour meeting, pulling out our hair, stabbing our eyeballs, trying to find new leads at work. You know, putting up the butcher's paper is genuinely mind-numbingly boring and ineffective, whereas it's just doing it. You know, a previous accountant of mine said, look, it's a strange thing, but you've got to make the leap. And once you make the leap, people will follow. So we're based here at the Yarralumla Shops in the ACT. It's, you know, a reasonably nice suburb, a bit like maybe Carlton or not quite Durack, but not too far from it. It's a nice spot. And, you know, there's a mortgage broker down the road. Obviously, we've got mortgage brokers here that I refer to, but you also have external relationships as well. And then you just start bumping into people. There's a lady who's a solicitor that just does settlements, you know, friend to friend referred to me. And it's just been quite organic. And then pleasingly, I've caught up with a lovely accountant, Yvette Lisley. She's based at Simonston in Canberra. And she is a financial planner by trade as well as an accountant, but being an accountant in Canberra, there's too much work. So we've elected to work on a few clients together as well, which has been a wonderful partnership.
Fantastic. Sounds like there's a bit that's keeping you busy, that's for sure.
Yes, and you know this as well as I do, that it is belief. So I must admit, and that's, I guess, for the benefit of the listeners, that I was one of these guys that was a bit of a stick in the mud and got that, you know, Truman Show mentality, don't like too much change. So as a result of that, it took me a long time to break out. But once I did, like I said, I haven't looked back once I found the right platform. So I think, you know, that's something I've picked up from your podcast, is that sometimes people make a move after being at a job for some time and it doesn't work. They pivot. That's perfect. Sometimes they have to pivot again. I'm one of those people.
Yeah. You certainly sound like you've found the right place for you, which is fantastic. Lots of credit to you. So what does the business structure look like in terms of advisors, support staff? Sure. How are you operating that?
We've got on the ground, there's six of us in the office here based in Canberra. So two gentlemen in the mortgage broking side. So we kind of co-locate. My business partner, Steve, owns part of that Mortgage Choice franchise.
Yep.
And then we have two support staff locally, and myself and Steve. So there's six of us here, and then I've got a remote helper based in the Philippines, and that works out really well. And I also use Atlas Outsourcing for paraplanning as well.
So what are the in-house people doing that you've got there?
Yep. So on the wealth side, it's really two client-facing advisors and two support staff. One of those support staff, Andrew, more than likely will be an advisor within, say, 12, 18 months. And that seems to be Steve's approach to work organically.
Yeah.
And I've certainly had a front row seat for him as well, watching his success from literally nothing to being, you know, arguably one of the better advisors in Canberra.
Fantastic. And you think you'll help him through professional year? Because that's something, like, there's a lot of press being written about. A lot of press being written about smaller businesses. Are they actually going to do the professional year? You know, it's a big cost, and a lot of time, like actual dollars, sure. And then there's time involved and all the rest of it. But you're a big believer of, yes, do it internally.
100%, because we're, as you said right at the start, we're in the nation's capital. It is a public service town. We hate to admit it, but it is. And they pay well, have great conditions. So if we don't capture staff and, I guess, offer, you know, the prize, we just won't retain. So I think you need to hold your staff's hand from where to go.
I was at years ago, I went to a conference as part of the licensee that we were with back then. And there was someone got up on stage and he ran a successful financial planning business in a country town somewhere. I can't even remember where it was, but he was talking about they kind of have this challenge of the bright people leave to go to the cities, and they had this yes. You know, trouble keeping people, and that professional year is one thing that firms can do now, but they were introducing like ownership in the business to people that were really young, like in the client service type people. If they saw good prospects in them, they gave them the opportunity to earn part of the business over time, as a means to try and keep them without, you know, otherwise they leave and go to the city for a high paying job somewhere else.
That's right. And, you know, it's the great man Warren Buffett said, you know, show me the incentive and I'll show you the result. So I think if you've got that incentive to work and for those younger people in the country towns, if they feel part of business, not just at a personal level, but also financially, then you're all aligned.
Yeah, yeah. I'm always interested to hear how people kind of engage with their clients. Like, what's your process between a mortgage broker or a lawyer says, hey, James, call this person that I've just spoken to. I've just spoken really highly of you to them. Like, what does your process look like? Can you talk us through those steps?
I've got a number of processes in the sense that, you know, for when it's word of mouth, because you know as well as I do, that's another level of referral. So when it's word of mouth, it's just a complimentary meeting, really just to see if we can work together.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is that we'll generally do the old mud map of this is where you're at, this is what we would recommend if you were going to engage us. If you're comfortable with that, great, we can go forward. If not, no troubles at all. So basically be an honest broker. I'm not really one of these advisors that wants to, you know, keep a couple of strategy in the back pocket, because I feel that you're best, you know, obviously the general nature, I don't mean, you know, down to the last sense, but if you provide a bit of a general strategy that clients can understand, they'll sleep on that, talk to their spouse, if they have a partner, and reflect, and more often than not, they'll proceed. Whereas if in the past when I've been at the bank, I've been a bit cagey and, you know, because again, you know, we love public servants, I'm married to one, so there's no offense there, but if there's a perception that something's free, it probably won't be treated as respectfully as if there's some commercial relationship. So for the word of mouth, like you said, but it's from a solicitor, I'll have a complimentary meeting. Whereas if it's referred by other, because there's a couple of accountants that refer to me, but if it's from an accountant, I will just invoice for my time. And if they proceed to a plan, we'll obviously take away that general advice fee from the plan fee. But if they don't, then they've paid, you know, typically $440 for a 1 hour consultation.
Gotcha. Okay. And then so I say, the client says, yes, we want to go ahead. Like, what are you doing then? How are you using any tools to gather information?
Sure, yeah. So I'm, again, a bit of a dinosaur. So I would then like to have a second meeting to go to the client profile, the fact find.
Yes.
So there's no surprises. So again, mentioned grey hair a number of times, but I'm one of these guys that literally lived through the global financial crisis, was fortunate my eldest daughter Eve was born during that time. And I think if she wasn't, it was really awful. So that was a really, I guess, lightning pot moment to say, hey, when someone says they're balanced, maybe they're not balanced. So now I'll literally give them an example and say, you know, hypothetically, Tony, you've got 600,000. Today is Tuesday. We're catching up next Monday. That 600,000 is now worth 400,000 next Monday. Sadly, there was a nuclear explosion in Manhattan. What's your reaction? You know, A, you're throwing a brick through my window. B, are you okay? And I sound a bit graphic, but I think sometimes we need to be graphic to cut through, because sometimes the risk profile, yeah, it's, you know, to quote Harold Banky, you know, it's a tick and flick. Whereas I think we need to drill down, and I want to eyeball them, James. I don't just want to hit, you know, I know we're meant to do teams a lot. I do the odd teams at Google Meet meeting, but I feel that, you know, feeling the temperature of the room, and you can really get a sense of, you know, if the client's going to be comfortable with their particular risk profile or not.
Yep. And so is that
once we're done, yep, here you go.
Is that Like the questioning that you've got there, is that a like is that something you've developed yourself? Is it a licensee kind of thing? Like
we're with Singapore Alliance. Shout out to Glenn Clay. He's a wonderful advocate of the Alliance Wealth with Centrepoint Alliance. But yeah, so obviously we follow the standard risk profile. You obviously need to do that on law, which is a client profile. But then I will do the hypothetical ones as well, because particularly if I sense that it's going too well, I'd rather have some robust discussions. As you can probably tell, sometimes people think I'm abrasive. I'm not. I just like to test the limit at the start, because you know and I both know that sadly, awful events will happen and do happen, and you're best to have a little bit of bandwidth at the start rather than, sunshine and rainbows all the way, and then suddenly the big dark storm comes in and things can turn quite quickly.
Yeah. So that kind of the risk profiling type exercise we do on our side, I often start that conversation by saying, I'm going to take you through a series of questions here. And they're mostly negative, and they're negative on purpose. No one's going to panic that things have gone up too much. People will panic that it's gone down too much. And so on purpose, all of these questions are, what happens if it drops by 20%? And what if your Commonwealth Bank shares go to zero and it completely disappears? What do you think what your reaction might be? All of these hypotheticals to land on something at the end. So it sounds like we're doing a similar kind of process there.
Yeah, and I think that's experience as well, in that, as I said, the banks were fairly transactional. People would come on quickly, but they would leave quickly for whatever reason. Whereas, as you know, with your business and everyone listening, we're not looking for, one-off relationships. We're looking to partner with people, and dare I say, with families as well. So
yeah, a
job for the client, as you know, they'll typically not only refer friends, but also family as in younger members of the family, and that's a true privilege.
Yeah, yep. So you've done your fact finding type exercise with them. What's the next step after that? What happens?
Then it's research. So we obviously got quite a large program, so running research, wealth solver, etc., and also just getting a sense for what they're after. So this is a recently left wing city. Not to demonise the town, but that's all good. But obviously, industry super is very popular here, and we've watched it. Not only do we, we're able to work with, say, Australian Super, but they actually refer clients to us as well. So there is a very strong bias towards industry funds, just I guess because of that whole non-for-profit, and we're able to work with clients around that.
Yep.
So you'll get a bit of a sense if that's what clients are seeking. Other clients, are all, let's go for the moon, and, then we might move you, say, a HUB24 platform. That's probably our preferred retail. And then sometimes with the accountant referrals, it's clients with self-managed super funds, where, again, we're just managing a portion of the money. So the accountant is obviously working through the administration. We're engaging the client just to look after that particular part of the money.
Yep. And the investment management part of the financial advice equation, how do you deal with that?
Yeah, typically core satellites. So you've got my degrees in the back foot that look better than a Vanguard poster, but we deliberately have a Vanguard poster in the office, not to promote Vanguard per se, but just to, demonstrate that in the end, we could talk about the GFC as we did. Guess what? It's a very fake line on the 30-year charts now. So I guess we do like index funds. I mean, Shouldn't say this on a financial planning podcast, but I am a bit of a Scott Pape fan.
Yeah.
I think a lot of, not everything he stands for, but I think a lot of the things he promotes, each index funds for lower balance clients does make sense. I think trying to play God and saying, yes, I've been to this lunch with this fund manager, it's the best thing since sliced bread, takes us a long time, but I think we've all evolved to know that it's very hard to beat the market as a medium long term. So we would use the index funds, but the reason I'm not against active management as well through, say, a ModSec SMA is because they are the ones that, were watching the duration of bonds a couple of years ago when the rate cycle went up, whereas the poor old Vanguard, you just have to go up for the ride. It went down, it did go back up. No one lost any money if they didn't sell, but I think that's what the active management can provide, is smooth out those returns. So that's the way we typically run the majority of our portfolios, and then we do have some core tilts of tried and tested managers, but that's probably more for our high net worth clients as opposed to the mums and dads that want something consumed.
Yeah, gotcha. And you're not doing any individual kind of stock picking with clients. It's all, you know, Vanguard or indexes or major funds.
Yeah, I haven't been the best stock picker personally, and I feel like a plumber's got a leaky tass. It's taken me 20, 30 years to really, I've had a few wins, few losses, but no, I mean, you know, obviously, if I had to call it for this year, obviously ResMed seems to be the fund manager's number one pick, and it's done reasonably well, but it hasn't done that well. And you think back to last year, Woodside, great story, great company, but of course this year it's profits and distributions were down, BHP, no different. So I guess that's my concern with the direct shares, but I think if I had higher account balances, you know, friends with people at JB Weir, Morgan Stanley, these sort of firms in Sydney and Brisbane, and, you know, they've got, you know, 15 analysts behind them as they sit in front of clients. I mean, we're not servicing that sort of level of wealth.
Yeah.
And so I guess you have to cut your costs to avoid presenting the advice.
Yep. And so the presentation of the advice, how does that type of meeting run for you?
Yeah. So that would just, we would generally, again, transparency is everything in this city for the whole industry under best interest and so forth. So we would typically a couple of days before the meeting. Strangely, but I feel comfortable setting the clients the plan.
Oh, yeah.
That way they've had an opportunity to read it. There's not, there shouldn't be any surprises or anything untoward. So that way they can go through it. Often we'll get a few comments, but more often than not, they, even though we tell them not to print it out, they'll print it out and bring it along. And then go through it. But generally, it's confirmation, the plan of what we've discussed in that discovery meeting. So, you know, as a general rule, the advice strategies that we deploy here for the clients I deal with are not overly complicated. It's, you know, your recontributions, incomes, you know, Centrelink strategies and so forth. So it's not, we're not, you know, looking to change the wheel, redefine the wheel. It's more just doing the right thing and within clients' budgets as well. So from a pricing point of view, we're not the most expensive in Canberra, but we're certainly not, obviously not the cheapest, but we're, I guess we like to have clients for the long term as opposed to having a very big plan for you and then never seeing them again.
Yeah. And I think there's like, you know, I think you kind of downplay it. I think we all do it to say, oh, you know, the strategies aren't too complicated. There might be some super contributions or some, you know, Centrelink sheltering money in one versus the other to get Centrelink benefits and so forth. Like, we all know that because we do it day in, day out. But to the person that's walking into us for the first time, that's all. It's all brand new to them, and, you know, you can understand why there's such a demand for financial advice at around that kind of 55 to 65-ish age bracket where someone goes from, well, I just show up to work and then once a fortnight I get paid. It's not that complicated. I just need to manage my money from once a fortnight. But then all of a sudden it's like, well, how do I start a pension with my super? What about inheritance? What about the age pension system? There's all of this complexity that, unless you've studied it, unless you've worked in it, you're not going to know it. So,
true.
You know, a lot of value there for those that are going through that stage. So what's next for you? What's the plan?
Yeah, I guess it's just organic growth. So obviously borrow money to pick up this client base. So goal is have that debt paid off, say, within 5 to 7 years.
Yeah.
And the best way to do that is obviously to take the clients to do a good job, but also pick up new work.
Yeah.
And pleasingly, that's what is happening at the moment. My business partner's, yeah, it's, as you know, there's lots of movement. So I think, yeah, there's a couple of acquisitions he's considering, but definitely won't speak for him. But for me, I'm quite comfortable now that I've got a bit of momentum, that I've got quite a nice lifestyle as well. Fortunate enough to be in the same suburb, so I get to walk to work.
Yeah.
It's quite nice. And, you know, as I said, I share one of the staff here and have remote support. So coming from a bank, that's like a miracle. Well, I was lucky to get 10, 15 hours of support towards the end of my tenure at the banks, and even though I was managing a reasonable sized portfolio, it was democratized in a sense. It didn't matter if you had 10 clients or 200 clients, we all got the same amount of support, which looking back was probably a reason possibly there was a Royal Commission. It was just unbelievable.
It's about to allow himself, can you?
No, and the mistakes are going to happen. There's only so many hours in the day. And I guess that's, yeah, you know, I've got couple of friends, particularly ex-NAB guys up in Sydney, we always cry thinking, wow, this business was so successful, doing so well, good clients, and now, you know, I doubt it'd be 5-10% of what it is today. So I think it really goes to the show, you know, again, that incentive, you know, incentivization in that if you had an incentive to look after a client base and you're rewarded for good results and looking, you know, doing the right thing, you'll keep doing that. But if you're not and everybody's kind of socialized, often you don't get the same result. So that's I sound like I know everything with that comment, but it's been a really nice leap of faith to finally go out and do it and see that it works.
Yeah. Well, the sounds of things growing nicely, potentially a new advisor coming through the ranks over the next year or two. Sounds all good things.
Yeah, just shout out to yourself and the Ensemble team, because genuinely every Thursday I get a little buzz. And, like I said at the start, it's really a breath of fresh air to hear other people doing things like myself, but then to hear other incredible people with, 30, 40 people in the business. And checked out your website earlier and you guys look like you're doing quite well. So credit to you as well.
Yeah, that's it. I've got to get some, this is at the start. There's big businesses and there's smaller businesses. Need to get some people from the bigger businesses on to kind of talk about the challenges that they've got and how they're dealing with it and how did they get to be 30 plus people. In most cases, it's through acquisition over time. Very few have kind of grown organically to that level.
Absolutely.
So get a few more on. Well, James, thank you for joining me this afternoon. It's pleasure to speak with you. And you better listen to yourself back on Thursday morning if you want to do so.
As I said, first time caller, long time listener, and I guess a shout out to anyone else listening that is afraid to do this or uncomfortable. You've made it really easy, and credit to yourself for the way you handle these meetings.
Thanks, James. Appreciate it.
No worries.